just the honor that it is to see somebody's work and to help them polish that. It's something that it makes me love what I do every day.
Welcome to The Compassionate Creative, the podcast that shares the stories of creative leaders who work to pave a path forward in their industries and do so with compassion, authenticity, and integrity. I'm your host, Charlene Dinger, a fellow creative who is inspired by artists and innovators that push their work forward from a place of compassion. I hope you join me on this journey. Stay curious, listen with an open heart and mind, and hopefully we will all find some inspiration along the way. Hello, my lovely listener. Welcome back to the podcast. So lovely to have you here again for another guest episode. As I shared before, I am getting through some of these guest episodes that I've had recorded that I really want to share. So hearing from more guests rather than just myself on the Free Flow Fridays, but those will be back soon. So today, my guest is Hannah Lyon, a comprehensive editor and ghostwriter. Hannah is actually the first editor I've had on the podcast and the first comprehensive editor, which I chat to her about what this entails and why she feels that being a comprehensive editor is the best way to truly connect with writers and to create trusting relationships in order to share their most authentic voice. And we also talk about the importance of being a good listener, not only in her industry, but I think in all creative industries, really important for us to listen. And also the importance of creatives remaining open to feedback. This is obviously a lot of what she does. And I think it's really important for us to kind of talk about that, why it's really important for us to stay open to feedback, critiques, and allowing space for change and growth. So this was a really great conversation. I hope that you enjoy it. Let's get right into it with Hannah Lyon. So today I am welcoming Hannah to the podcast. Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for joining me and giving me your time today. So happy that we can chat.
Yeah, thanks, Charlene. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So we actually, I usually kind of connect with each one of my guests just for like a quick chat beforehand, but we are just diving into it today. We just met and I love that sometimes, like the spontaneity of it. So I'm excited to see where our chat goes. And before we dive into all of the work that you're doing, Hannah, I always like to check in with my guests and ask them the same first question. And that is, how have you shown yourself compassion today?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. I love that. For me, compassion looked like not waking up early and not working out. Because it was a long night with a little one and it just, it was not happening. And normally I'd get in my head about that because it's a good way to start your day. But today I thought, you know, I deserve to have 45 extra minutes of rest and I am so much better for it.
Absolutely. I love that. I think like just recognizing that. And I recently had same kind of answer from another guest and it was like, you know, just knowing that like, even if you did go to work out, like if that was the choice, that would have been a great choice. But the fact that you realized, you know, like this is actually what I need, and then not feeling guilty about it. I think that's like the key point there is like, no, it's okay. Like it's okay to take that break. It's okay to give yourself that space and listen to your body. So that's a wonderful way to show yourself compassion. Good for you.
Thank you.
And so you usually, is that sort of like your regular routine wake up, you know, get yourself, get a workout in, get some movement in? Like, is that part of your daily practice?
Yes. Yeah. As much as I can. Ever since I started having kids and had my business has been growing, I found that even though early mornings aren't my favorite thing, it is something you can adapt to enjoying because right. you start seeing the benefits of taking that time instead of at the end of the day when you're too tired or in the middle of the day when you're too busy. I've been able to teach myself to appreciate how important it is to start your day in a way that makes you feel good about yourself. And like you had said, that key of not feeling bad if, you know, today's just not the day either.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I prefer my movement practices in the morning as well. Like my personal ones, I teach at all different times of the day, but definitely there's something about mornings where it's just like, it really feels like that start to your day, whatever it is, like just that connection to yourself right at the beginning of the day. There's something about mornings that are really kind of a magical time really. And just to kind of set yourself up for the rest of the day. So that's awesome that you've integrated that into your life. And I like that there's also that sense of, it didn't happen right away. You know, it's like, it takes practice, right? Like it's, you have to get yourself to adapt, like you said. I'm sure, especially with little ones running around too, like it's also that, leaving that space for like flexibility. Some days it might not happen because, you know, one of them might be up late like today. It just, you know, being able to kind of have the space and the capacity to like let that ebb and flow. So I really love that. That's awesome.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So Hannah, you are I love this, comprehensive editor. And that was something that really stood out to me. I was like, what does that mean? Like, you know, I don't actually think I've ever had an editor on the podcast. So this is a first, which is exciting. And it's such important work. Like, I feel like sometimes, you know, in either in writing or, you know, in movies, in shows, people sort of just look at like the end product and just think like, okay, this is how it came to be. But there's so much that goes on in the background of this process. And the editor is such a huge part of that process, I think, especially in writing. And so I wonder if you can break down for me and for anybody that is also doesn't really know exactly what a comprehensive editor is. Can you kind of explain what it is that you do?
Yeah, I would love to. So for me, this particular editing process is kind of unique. And that's because when I was learning how to be an editor, I found that things were a little unbalanced in the industry. So I would look at someone's story idea or look at a manuscript that they had drafted out, and I would find that there were different types of editing. So you had to go to one particular editor to get all of your spelling, grammar, punctuation, formatting, all of that stuff taken care of. And that took a while. And that, you know, was a bill that you had to take care of. And then right. you had to go to somebody else who was going to dive into the content editing of it, the developmental editing of, you know, how your story flows, where you might grab the reader better, where you're losing the reader, where your plot holes are, how your character arcs flow, all these different things that, you know, equal a really, really good book that you're proud of by the end of it. And you had to work with that person. And then that had months and months go by. And then that was another bill. And a lot of those editors tended to be kind of cold and analytical on one side. The other ones were kind of yes men and women, where it was a lot of praise, but it didn't actually help you grow as an artist. Right. And I really didn't like how disjointed that was. It was all or nothing, no balance around. So when I started training my brain, I kind of found that I had a gift to be able to do both of those things at the same time. Somehow that's just how my brain works. And that's a skill that I've been able to develop and grow over the years of being that one person that you can go to. I take care of all of the nitty gritty stuff for you. I dive into the story and learn your voice with you. So there's that comprehensive process where you have one person learning your voice, one person who's on your team who really wants asked to walk with you as your partner from the beginning of that story all the way to something that's, you know, not just published and put on a shelf, but it's a legacy project for you. You're really proud of it. And that is kind of the key to, I think, of that whole comprehensive experience that I like to share with my authors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's so clear. And it makes so much sense. Like when you lay it out like that, to me, it makes sense to be working with one person that kind of, it's almost like you are just sort of getting the bigger picture, but then also within that bigger picture, like you have the skills, you have the tools and the capacity to also like really dive into those details and the specifics of what needs to get done. And I really like to where that you mentioned, you know, it's like there's people out there that are just going to be yes men and are just going to give you praise because they think that that's what you want to hear. And I think that that's really critical for artists to be able to get feedback, to hear someone else's POV and to understand like, okay, I still have the right to use my voice, but it's also like, how can I make sure that the voice and the message is coming through clearly? And I think like having a sounding board for that and having feedback on that is really nice part of that process. So it sounds like you are, you know, quite an integral part to the author's process. And I know that, you know, in the editing, you also have this job of, you know, making sure that the author's authentic voice is coming through. And so in the work that you're doing, as you're editing down, and I'm sure there's like lots of let's go back, let's restart this part, like how can we kind of chop this up and make this better, how do you ensure that you are keeping the author's voice within all of that? It's not getting lost. And within that, how does your own creativity come into play when you're also trying to amplify the author's voice?
Yes, that is awesome. I think the main quality anyone could find in a good editor is that they're a good listener, because they can very easily insert themselves into your story. You can tell the parts that are written by the person versus the parts that were improved by somebody else. And that's always cringeworthy when you can see that in anybody's writing. And so what I like to do with my authors to be able to establish a lot of trust right away is ask them why they're writing their book. If I know exactly where they're coming from, then that kind of gives us this mutual foundation of knowing exactly what they're setting out to do. So a lot of the authors that I work with tend to be writing memoirs. They're writing their life stories about a lot of difficult challenges that they faced, not just those challenges, but how they overcame them and how they can now express them in a way that can help them heal, that can help inspire and bring motivation to other people. So there's a lot of power in those kind of stories, and everybody has those kind of stories, and expressing them in a creative way is therapeutic for them and then really beneficial for readers as well. So their voice is paramount to that, right? It has to come through. It can't just sound like, you know, Will Smith's memoir or Matthew McConaughey's memoir. They had great editors who honored their voices and made sure that their books ended up being as beautiful as they are, and everybody's are just as important. So if I come from a space of asking them, you know, why are you taking the time to write this? Away from your family, away from your kids, you know, investing in the process of writing too, then I have that foundation. And I also ask them who they're writing for. because it often helps when I'm getting to know them, and their voice and their message is, who do they want to reach? Who is their avatar? Who's that one person, you know, that can have their life changed, who can be inspired, who can be educated by what they have to share? And if we kind of hone in on those things to begin with, then I have a really good idea of how they feel, what their passion is, and how I can make sure that stays on the page when we work together.
That key element of listening, because I think in so many facets of our lives, like, that is sometimes something that we forget about, right? I think there's a lot of people, like you said, especially when it comes to, you know, like, helping others, coming into a space where you're trying to give like your expertise and share your experiences. I think it's so key to be able to stay open to what it is that they need, instead of, like you said, inserting yourself and inserting like your values, like, this is what I think it should be. So I really love that, like, honoring that true voice of the artist. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think when I think of, like, when you just said, like, the writing process, it's like I imagine, you know, a writer going into, like, a little cottage in the middle of the woods and just, like, isolating themselves and, like, really diving in. But I suppose that's not necessarily always the way that it happens. And so, like, in working with, you know, your clients, I'm sure it varies from client to client, but how long does sometimes, you know, a book take to edit through, especially through, like, the various sort of the various ways that you're doing it and all the different kind of things that you're bringing into it? How long is that process usually?
Well, what I like to do, just because things do vary, you're absolutely right about that, is I like to work on a retainer with my authors. So I set aside a certain amount of time every quarter of the year to work with a certain amount of people. And once I get to that number, I book out following quarters. But usually 2 to 3 months is what it takes for me to really sit down with an author. If they have a word count that's pretty acceptable for their genre, or even not, then we can work on making it bigger or cutting it back together. That's just fine. But what I love to do is work through each chapter with them every week, talk to them every week, brainstorm with them all the time. So by the time we get into the second or third month, then they've already learned a lot. They've grown a lot. Any places they're still stuck, we get to talk about. A lot of editors I've seen, you just kind of send them a Word document and they send it back to you with, you know, what they think is wrong and say good luck. Right, so right. What I love to do is sit with them, right? I sit with them for 2 or 3 months and know that, okay, anything that they're writing, anything they're working on with this project during that quarter of the year, they have me on their team and I'm there to be able to help them. And the best thing about that, that I love to offer, that I don't think many other people do, is once you've gone through that editing process with me and we figure out, you know, all the little things that we want to fix and everything we want to polish up together, I go through the book a second time. And that's just because so much changes and shifts and grows as you're working on that story of yours. And you want to make sure that all of those changes actually look good. They all are woven together properly, you know, things aren't missing. And that's one of my favorite things to do, is giving people that second final review. So that when they do start looking at publishing and they have that exciting day, they get to celebrate where their message goes out into the world through their creative writing, you know, they're really confident with what they've created.
That's really beautiful. I hear so much compassion in that. Like, I really hear so much of, your work is really holding space for these authors, really holding space for these creatives, and letting them know like they're not alone in this process. And I know it's sometimes very isolating. Like I said, that's what I picture, like a writer going into, you know, some deep dark forest and like pouring their soul out onto paper. But I think in any sort of creative process, like whether you are collaborating, whether you're doing it on your own, I think at some point there are many times where it feels like you're alone. Like it feels like, you know, it feels very isolating. And so I think it's so lovely in the way that you, what you're offering. There's really a lot of compassion in that. There's really this place of like, I'm here for you. I'm holding this space for you. I'm honoring your voice. Like that's what that component comes in as well. So that's really beautiful. And it sounds like something really unique and really special. So I thank you for your authenticity and for holding that space for those artists. That's really lovely. Yeah. And kind of going back to this idea of telling artists, you know, like this is how we can kind of polish it up. This is some of my feedback. These are some critiques. And, you know, critiques are something that I'm very much used to giving in my work as a dance adjudicator, working with young dancers, giving them feedback, giving them critiques, you know, offering things that you think like, okay, I think that this is a way for you to improve here. Mm-hmm. How is it that you help these writers to understand the value in your critiques, to understand the value of feedback? 'Cause I know sometimes it can be taken in many different ways, I'm sure. And, you know, why is it important for creatives to remain open to critiques and feedback?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the key to begin with is that the author needs to come to the editing process knowing that things are going to change. And also knowing that if they've already established that level of trust with me, that we're coming from a space of growth. So what you're doing as a creative, and I think it applies outside of writing too, but you know that you can always get better. You can always be better. You can always learn something new. And usually creative people are always down to learn something new. So for me, I hope to come from that space with my authors to start off with. And for them to always know too, that editing should be suggestions. Of course, if it's spelling or grammar or things like that, you know, you really want to look professional and take that kind of advice. But otherwise, they are just things that might inspire you, ways that you can change a piece of sentence structure or how you can move one story to another place to make it more effective in a book. And know that if there's anything you have to cut out of your writing, it's not ever wasted. You probably felt good writing it. So that's always a bonus. Something about that made you feel good because you took the time to put it on paper, but it can be used for a speech. It can be used for a blog. It can be used for social media posts, all of these things where there are people who still deserve to hear that, even if it doesn't necessarily end up in the book itself. So I try to make people feel like they are not ever wasting their time in what they're creating. And along the same lines of, suggestions is the fact that those suggestions I give are not just telling you what to fix, but I love to tell people how to do that. Mm-hmm. I've had too many editors say, you know, oh, this is lazy writing, or you use this word a million times, or you must have been tired when you wrote this, you know. Well, it might be true, but it doesn't mm-hmm. help me get better, right? So totally. What I always do is provide them not just with the suggestion of what needs to be fixed, but how to fix it. Something that can give them an idea of how they can grow and choose what works in their voice. So I think if they know the reason why, because I know I'm that kind of person, you can tell me what to fix, but I want to know the reasoning behind it. And mm-hmm. I think that's really validating in itself, is to offer that to people. Then they go, okay, I get what she's seeing. I know she's an expert in this industry. So maybe I'll take this suggestion, but this just, you know, it doesn't work for me. And they get rid of it, and my feelings are never hurt.
that makes so much sense. And, you know, it's there's that give and take, you know, there's this true sense of collaboration and understanding. And I love that that word trust comes up again, because I think it's something that really should be established, especially when you are collaborating with another artist, with another creative. And I think like that trust in yourself too, right? I think, again, that's where the authentic voice comes through, like trusting that you know what it is that you're trying to put out, trusting yourself enough to know as well that it's okay for those things to change. Like, we're human beings, we need to grow, we need to expand, we need to stay open. And so I think remaining flexible and open to those things is really important too. I wonder, Hannah, like, when you see the end product, when you know, finally have that day where the writer comes and says, like, I've got a publishing date, it's happening, it's going out, what is that feeling for you that you have contributed to this piece of work, that you have contributed to this artist's work? How does that make you feel? And does it lead to further inspiration for your own work?
That is really great. I think it's a celebration to begin with. It's always a celebration day where I'm sharing those books and those messages as much as the author is. And it is also a really humbling, honoring experience too, because they, first, before they trusted the world with their story, they usually will bring it to somebody like me. Things that, if they're writing a memoir, you know, their family may not even know. Things that their fiction authors, they're still pouring their heart and soul into a story that's, you know, just hidden behind different worlds that they're building. But either way, it's their blood, sweat, and tears on those papers. And to be able to see that and to help with that before everyone else in the world gets to look at it, it really is an honor. And I try to remind myself of that every time somebody brings me a story. So that makes a huge difference. It's beautiful to see what an author's first book looks like, and then what might happen, you know, a year later when they write another book, because they just are reaching so many people, their stories are opening all these doors for them. I mean, it's good for me because they're bringing me more books to work on, which I always love. But just the honor that it is to see somebody's work and to help them polish that, it's something that it makes me love what I do every day.
That's beautiful. That's so lovely. I love all of that. I like picture you as this like mama bear of all of the authors that you've worked with. It's like, you know, they're like your little book babies that you've like helped to nourish and helped to feed and helped to grow. So I feel like that would feel like such a sense of accomplishment, you know. And I always feel like that too. And I always sort of tell these young dancers, and like, I don't have, especially when it comes to judging, like with my regular students, it's a different thing. But when it comes to judging, like, I just have a weekend with these kids and quite very short interactions with them. But it's like you kind of watch them throughout the whole weekend, and it's just like, you know, you're rooting for them. You want to show up as your best self, right? Your most authentic self. And that's why I always like to start with that question for everybody. Like, how have you shown yourself compassion today? Because I'm always curious about what people's sort of daily processes are, how it is that you're nourishing yourself in order to show up for the people that you're serving. And so I think you have this regular practice, you know, I think you already have that sort of nurture within you as a mom. So I feel like that kind of probably weaves in there as well. So I love all of that. I really, really appreciate that. Through your work, through this comprehensive editing, making these connections with other creatives, with authors, helping them to find their voice, what is it that you wish to nourish through your own creativity?
I think the more editing that I do, the more stories that I hear, it always inspires me to make sure I have that balance to give to my own writing and the own creativity that I love to be able to hone in my own writing skills. I make sure that I have that balanced really well with my business, just because it's just as much therapy for me as it is for my authors. Mm-hmm. It's something that helps my heart grow, helps give my soul all of those good feelings. So whenever I have time, I love to be able to think about how brave all of my authors are and what they share of themselves with the world through a very, very vulnerable art form, and make the time to sit down and do some of my own writing too.
That's beautiful. I love that. Artists inspiring artists. Like that's what it's all about, right? It's connecting, it's sharing, you know, it's finding those similarities and understanding that we're all so layered, we're all so similar, and I think making those connections is really beautiful. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Hannah, I have one more sort of bigger question for you. And then I like to play a lightning round with everybody if you are into that.
Sure. Why not?
Okay, cool. So finally for you, Hannah, what does being a compassionate creative mean to you?
I think that compassion is really rooted in partnership. If you have a really strong connection with somebody, someone that you know is trying to create a win-win with you, that compassion really comes out across the board where they care about what you have to say and they want what you have to share with the world to look as good as possible and to be as good as possible, because that just creates that ripple effect of helping others. So if you find somebody to work with on any project, whether it's an editor or a mentor or a teacher or an instructor, if you are coming to a place where they're not a guru looking down on you, they're not somebody who is only there to tear you apart. I know that's a big stereotype with editors, is that they just, you know, take a hammer and rip things to pieces. But if they are coming to that space from partnership, I think that compassion kind of really radiates out from there.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Yeah. It's true collaboration. It's true collaboration in that way. It's an authentic energy exchange. So that's lovely. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to go into this lightning round. Hannah, your favorite method of self-care?
That would be my Peloton bike.
Ooh, nice. Yes. Get up, get on the bike, set yourself up for the day. Love that. And the first thing you do to reconnect to yourself?
Journaling, definitely writing physically with pen and paper.
Nice. Yeah. And to show compassion means to?
To be able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes.
Beautiful. I feel most creative when I
am editing a book.
Love that. Yeah. And finally, authenticity is
Sharing your story with the world with no holds barred.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. I love all of that. Thank you. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed our chat. I will make sure that everybody knows where to find you and where to connect with you. I'll make sure everything is linked in the show notes. And thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you.
Sure. Anytime. Thank you.
And there you have it, my conversation with the lovely Hannah. This was a lovely chat to be able to get a little bit more enlightened about that industry. So thank you to Hannah. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. There were some really beautiful moments. So if there's someone that you think should have a listen to it, please feel free to share. As always, feel free to reach out to me, share your thoughts, let me know what's happening with you. Let me know what you want to hear about on the podcast. I will be back again with another guest episode next week and then some Free Flow Fridays in the near future. So until then, stay safe and take care.